Crown Point State Historic Site, where the water laps the shore, is the place to introduce the star of our story. Right here, beneath our feet, you can reach down and pick up a handful and let the black, speckled sand spill through your fingers. As you do so, you stand in the footprints of 18th century Swedish naturalist Peter Kalm. In this same spot, Kalm held the iron-rich sand. In his diary, Kalm put forth the first European account of iron in the area. He arrived here by boat on a quiet, sunny day in July 1749 and was greeted by the French governor of the Fort St. Frederick, now called Crown Point.
Bonjour. You have been traveling long?
I have a commission from the Royal Swedish Academy of Sciences.
I greeted Monsieur Peter Kalm at the shoreline. He had come to collect plant samples and seed for agricultural development in his homeland of Sweden. Although he was polite and of a pleasing demeanor, he immediately looked to the ground and clasped a handful of sand and held it up to sparkle in the morning sun. He spent many days wandering about Fort St. Frederick.
Ah, this sand along the shores of the lake is a rare thing. Two kinds are very peculiar. They commonly lay in the same place. One is black, and the other a reddish-brown or granite-colored. The black sand always lies uppermost. It consists of very fine grains, which, when examined by a microscope, appear to have a dark blue color, like that of a smooth iron, not attacked by rust.
The iron is pure, then?
Yes, very pure. Some grains are roundish, but most of them angular, with shining surfaces. And they sparkle when the sun shines. All the grains of this sand, without exception, are attracted by the magnet.
Could this sand be the fates of geology and chemistry?
To be sure. However, the black and red sand is not found in every part of the shore. It is only in a few places where the red sand lies immediately under the black. In the mountain building event billions of years ago, molten rock flowed into the freshly made deposits, cooling into a mixture of coarse-grained crystalline rock laced with veins of iron oxide, feldspar graphite, garnets, and rare minerals. The most common of these, magnetite iron ore, lies in tightly folded veins running from the surface deep into the earth.
I received him in my quarters in the tower of the fort, and we dined. I then learned of his discoveries. Bon appétit. And what have you learned from our sand and rock, Monsieur Kalm?
I wonder, Monsieur, has any iron ore been dug nearby?
Why, yes. The native Indians across the lake have dug iron from the bogs along the northern shores. And, of course, you know of our country's own efforts to mine iron in Quebec.
Unlike what you are mining, it seems that this iron runs deep. It may be difficult to extract, but mankind is capable of great ingenuity.
Ah, yes, c'est vrai.
Crown Point State Historic Site is an excellent starting point of this audio tour because from here, we can see both the beginning and the end of the iron story, as well as events in between. As you look north to the far shore, you see Port Henry. This was the port where raw iron ore and pig iron were transported both by canal boat and rail south to Albany, Troy, and beyond. To the northwest, high up on the hill straight across the waters of Bulwaga Bay, stands a huge cone-shaped pile that represents the final stage in history of iron production in the Champlain Valley. This iron tailings pile holds the waste material, ore sand, created by an iron ore processing plant known as Number 7 Mill that operated from 1942 until 1971 when the mines closed for good.